Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We will have Charles Robinson at 7:30 this morning. He will be with us from 7:30 to 8. Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie with us at 8:30. Preds lose last night to the Carolina Hurricanes. We will have him a little bit later in the program. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Joe, would you be interested to know, or maybe even guess? I'm looking at betonline.ag right now, okay? The odds to be the next Tennessee Titans head coach. If you had to identify a favorite, who do you think it would be?
Let's see. I probably would put, I guess, McCarthy.
That is correct. He is the favorite at plus 300.
Right. We
well
go.
Done. I think some people would have said Nagy, and he is actually sixth on the list. The number two on the list, I don't know that this is going to happen. So I'll just read the first six for you, all right? McCarthy at plus 300. Cliff Kingsbury at plus 350 in the number two spot. Robert Saleh at number three at plus 500. Mike Kafka at plus 650. Clint Kubiak at plus 700. Matt Nagy plus 900. Those are your top six for the Tennessee Titans right there.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, again, this Vegas, I think a lot of Vegas odds are not. I think some people think Vegas odds like are more meaningful than they are.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes they can be. Sometimes information can be shared, but for the most part, it's just, again, you're guessing and you're trying to put together odds and lines that will get betting, that'll inspire people to bet. So,
by the way, Sark at plus 1600.
No, oh, there we go. No, got any Saban? Got any Kiffin?
I do not have Saban or Kiffin. I do have Eddie George at plus 6600.
No,
and Gruden at plus 5000.
I was going to say, okay, so there is a Gruden. No Jeff Fisher?
No Jeff Fisher. He did not make the list.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, the Kingsbury is interesting. Kingsbury second. I mean, the Kingsbury thing is like, obviously it didn't go well.
Yep.
I think probably more people would like to blame Kyler Murray than him. But I don't know. Did he handle it great? Maybe not. But then again, you can say the same thing about Saleh, I suppose.
Well, Kingsbury, the thing that gives me – like, Kingsbury, I think, is a good offensive mind. He's a good play caller, I think. But Kingsbury has never been a good head coach, even in college, right? Like, with Texas Tech, he was 35-40. And, look, I realize that Texas Tech –
it's about what they are.
Doesn't
what,
have
what
like
they
some
were.
Rich history, before NIL of all the money that they've got now. And we'll find out in the playoff here. But like Texas Tech doesn't have like some rich history of big time success. So I get that. But you're talking about a 35-40 head coach in college and a guy who wasn't very good in Arizona as head coach. So I frankly don't have a whole lot of interest in Cliff Kingsbury being the head coach of the Titans.
Yeah, he hasn't been one of the ones that I've really been excited about. Again, it's funny because obviously the unknown is undefeated, right? So someone like that, I could still make a better case for, okay, has been through some of that stuff, maybe learned from it, things like that. Now is with a really good, I think, like culture head coach and everything and has done well. Like you can make the case that someone like that would be a safer pick than a Brady, a Kubiak who has not done it, has not failed at it, right? Has not actually sat in that chair, guys like that to me, like you better be blown away. And again, remember going back just a couple years ago to how blown away you were by Brian Callahan.
Yeah. Well, there's another guy on the list that we've talked a lot about before. I think he's eighth on the list at plus 1200. And I'm interested to see the way the season finishes out here. They've gotten two big wins in a row. Rodgers is playing really well at quarterback right now over the last couple of games. Arthur Smith, we've talked a lot about him. Obviously, he's been a head coach. It didn't go great for him in Atlanta, but there's familiarity with the franchise. I heard Big Joe talking about this yesterday. It would still be, you know, Arthur Smith would be his pick. You know, if they end up winning the division here and getting into the playoffs, and then, we'll, you know, I guess we'll see what they do in the playoffs after that. I wonder how Arthur Smith being named head coach of the Tennessee Titans would be received by the fan base. Because I think on the one hand, Joe, you would look at it and you'd say, well, he's been here before, been here for a long time. He knows Amy. So there's like the, you know, he knows how the organization works. There's that dynamic of it. I do think there's a portion of Titans fans, too, that would also not only look at his time in Atlanta and how it didn't go very well. I think, you know, if you really wanted to dig into that, you can excuse it if you wanted to. Like, you know, his quarterbacks were Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder, largely. So there is that. But I also think if that's the hire that's made, a lot of Titans fans will say, well, Amy Adams Strunk, she's fired all these people, and now she feels like she's just got to be as safe as possible. So she's going with somebody she knows and Arthur Smith, and that's the wrong way to go about it. I would be really interested to see what the reaction from Titans fans would be if it ended up being Arthur Smith.
Yeah, I'm too. That's a great point, great question. I tend to think a lot of fans will just automatically do what you said. It's just think the worst about like Amy's involvement and somehow like, you know, like I get like, I almost feel like whatever they do, you know, we're talking about Cam Ward being involved and whatever. Yeah. You know, I mean, at this point, maybe like don't have Amy say anything or appear to have much involvement in the whole process. You know, because fans are just going to assume that it's going to be a bad choice. But
we're going to have Cam interview all the coaches. Cam, just let me know what you think at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's like Cam talks to him, but Amy doesn't. You know, like it's a new way of running an NFL franchise. But yeah, Arthur Smith is. I don't know why. Like, I think it could work. It's hard to know. I mean, the one thing about Arthur Smith that I think you did see in Atlanta is he does get really sensitive. Yep. Does that matter? Like, was that a detriment? Was that a factor in their lack of success? Like you said, the quarterback situation was not good, but he, like some of the stuff that made him mad of like real basic questions about stuff was like, man, calm down. And now he's coming back here. He already knows Kaharsky. I mean, Arthur Smith has been on our show when we've all made fun of Kaharsky.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so like he knows the lay of the land. But I was a bit surprised after how he was here as an assistant and then also just at, you know, as OC to like how he was publicly as a head coach. I do wonder if that's a little bit of a red flag.
Well, look, you know, I mentioned earlier that McCarthy is probably my choice. And again, I don't love McCarthy. Like, there are flaws with all these guys. But I also, one thing that's going to be interesting here, I am sure, Joe, that of this crop of potential coaches, be that Saleh, Arthur Smith, Matt Nagy, whoever, you know, those type of guys who have been head coaches in the league before and it hasn't gone overly well, I'm sure that at least one of them are going to get to another stop somewhere along the way and they're going to do well, right? Like, the record's going to be good and there will be stories written about how they figured it out. Let's say it's Saleh, right? Like, Saleh gets to his next stop and it'll be like, well, he went through the fire with the New York Jets. He's come out stronger on the other side and it's worked out great. I am sure that's going to happen with one of these guys. But, Joe, there are also guys, and you know this, like, there are guys in the NFL that frankly just aren't cut out to be head coaches, right, that are really good coordinators. We see that all the time in the NFL. And I don't know if that's Saleh. I don't know if that's Nagy. They could all end up being good head coaches. I do think part of the reason why I go back to McCarthy in this conversation is because I know that he's been a good head coach. I know that he's been a good head coach. Am I worried that at 62 years old that maybe the quote-unquote the game has passed him by, or, you know, does some of the in-game stuff that he does, like we've talked about on this show before, like the debacle of clock management that Mike McCarthy's had in some big-time situations. Does that stuff worry me? Yeah, it does. But the bottom line is, like, he won a lot of games with the Green Bay Packers, and he won a lot of games with the Dallas Cowboys, too, just not really when it mattered in the playoffs. And I don't know. Like, I don't, if I'm the Titans, want to get stuck with the guy that I hire as head coach that, you know, you're choosing the one that really is more cut out to be a coordinator, not a head coach in this league.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And that is why, like, you know, there's a safer way to go for sure. But you also, then you go around the league at some of the best coaches. How many of the best coaches in the NFL right now were coaches that teams took a chance on?
Yeah.
And they did not have, most of the great head coaches, I mean, it's an interesting, and I'm thinking through it now. It's like, how many of the great head coaches, you know, like, were a head coach somewhere? Now, Belichick was. Belichick did fail as a head coach before the Patriots' tenure. But, you know, he got the job through being the defensive coordinator of the Giants, Lawrence Taylor, all that stuff. But, I mean, a lot of these guys, it's like, you were a highly successful coordinator, then you got your head coaching job, and you took off from there, you know?
Yeah.
But there's also examples of retreads, really. That's what anybody is, I guess, that's been hired a second time to be a head coach who have had success. And so it's an interesting, like, I feel like these guys are not probably in a position of taking a huge risky swing, if that's what we consider someone like a Brady or Kubiak, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think it behooves them to fully explore that. And hey, maybe have their quarterback interview them, and maybe that gives them an edge. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Maybe so. Let's welcome in Tim to the program on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. We're talking about Arthur Smith, and, you know, I would question whether or not, I mean, he knows, like you said, he knows Amy, he knows how the organization, I would question him wanting to come back if he knows all that. It would make me wonder.
Oh, you want this job? You're fired.
That's a fair point.
I mean, he knows how all that's going to be. You know, some of these other coaches, yeah, they know the Titans and the Hogs. They don't actually know the inside stuff like Arthur would. And, you know, so they're going to just be shocked and surprised when they get here. He comes in knowing it. A year or two, I'm going to get fired. They're going to have a new general manager next year and, you know, and, yeah. And I would question his knowledge.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate the call. The one thing I would say on that, Joe, is the one thing to keep in mind here. I understand the sentiment. I really do. But Arthur Smith was basically around Amy when things were going pretty well. Like, I'm sure Amy was around in, you know, 2014 when he was the assistant tight ends coach and they were horrible. You know, I'm sure he knew her. But when she really took over as the face of the organization, you know, things started to improve, right? Like from 2016 until he was gone at the end of 2020, there was a lot of good that was going on there. So, like, he has not been around for the dumpster fire that's been the last few years here.
Yes, he has not been around for Mad Amy. He's been around for Happy Amy.
Yeah.
So. Arthur, I have one question for you. What the hell are you doing here? The fact that you even want this job means you will not get this job. Thank you.
615-737-1025. More on the Titans coaching search coming up next. Charles Robinson will be with us.
If you're looking for a great spot to pregame
Robbie
on Sunday before the Titans
game, stop by John Bon Jovi's and pregame with 1025 The Game. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer and cocktails, stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. Pregame show brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. We'll have Charles Robinson coming up here in just about 10 minutes on the program. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Our phone number is 615-737-1025. Joe, one texter says, tell me McCarthy's quarterbacks and then give me his playoff record because I don't think the two things match up. I mean, again, yes, Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl. It was a long time ago at this point. And the playoff success really wasn't there in Dallas. Now, that is not just a McCarthy thing. That has been a Dallas thing for a long time at this point. So we'll see what that looks like. Look, again, I don't think any of these guys are perfect. I think a lot of these guys have some flaws. I mean, look, people are all over Robert Saleh around here, and I get it. Robert Saleh's record's bad. Now, you can excuse that all for the Jets if you want to, and maybe it is all because he was with the New York Jets. I have no idea. But his record's not good. I mean, a lot of these guys have flaws. I think McCarthy has demonstrated to be a good head coach. Is McCarthy going to win you a Super Bowl? I don't know. But can we get to the point where they're good again and then we can worry about winning the Super Bowl? And that would probably be my advice here. Let's get to the point where we stabilize this thing and then we can start worrying about whether or not your coach is good enough to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. Like you'd love the problem right now of Mike McCarthy blowing it with a really good team in the playoffs, right? Like, oh, that sounds great. Yeah. And the record thing is fair. I think, again, some of the stuff with Saleh and, like, you know, trying to, like, investigate who is the mole for the media. It's like, it's like if you waste any time on this, you are not going to do your job well. That stuff is concerning. Yeah, but again, you get into record. Let's go to Mike Vrabel. 18 losses in the last 24 here. So for a couple of years, he became a total idiot. And he was a coach of the year. He's a great coach. And he's a total idiot. And now he's a genius again, which, again, kind of gets us back to coaching is very important in the NFL, no question. But also, they're all dependent on, yeah. And that you gotta get out of bad situations so your record doesn't get too bad, so you're not hireable again because you're coaching a team that has no chance to win, which I think definitely was the case with Saleh.
The same texture says McCarthy's had some Hall of Fame type quarterbacks. What would he do with an average quarterback? I mean, I don't know. Like, what do you think of Dak Prescott? Dak Prescott's a good quarterback. He's certainly not a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's a good quarterback. I mean, look, if Cam Ward is average at the end of the day, what does that mean? Is he going to be your? Is he getting a second deal if he's average? I don't know. Like, you know, McCarthy at 62 years old. He has had you know the late stages of Brett Favre. The early stages of Aaron Rodgers into the prime, and then Dak Prescott. Those have been his three quarterbacks primarily at the NFL level. So I understand that certainly in two of those cases, you're talking about two of the, 10 greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game? So believe me, I understand that when it comes into this. But again, like, you know, I think people look at his Dallas tenure, and it ended poorly. And they didn't have postseason success. You are talking about 3 years in a row in Dallas where he went 12-5. You know, like, wasn't like it was just completely terrible in Dallas.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's the postseason thing is fair for sure. And again, you'd like that problem. And there's also plenty of examples. And I'm not making this comparison, but there's plenty of examples of coaches who have a reputation. Oh, he'll never get over the hump. He screws up in the postseason. His clock management is terrible. Andy Reid, and then figures it out. Why did he figure it out? Well, there's one person in particular that I think answers that question. But still, he figured it out. This is interesting. We've had like Jeff Fisher thrown at us. We've had Eddie George. Mike says, for the Titans coach, I don't want anyone who has coached, played, or worked for the organization. So, see, I still wouldn't disqualify Arthur Smith. Like, to me, Arthur Smith is worth looking at here, right? Yeah, I don't put like a ton of value on like he knows, you know, like he knows the organization, or he knows Amy or stuff like that. Like, some people overvalue that, but I think there's some, you know, I don't think it's like, it shouldn't be a non-starter that you've been here before. Well, it's just the whole legendary player thing is usually just a terrible idea.
Well, the bottom line is, like, if this coaching search goes the way I think that it should, which is Borgonzi being the one ultimately making the decision here, well, then I think you ultimately get back to, you know, who does Borgonzi know around the – that's why it's so easy to make the Nagy reach, right? Because he's very familiar with Matt Nagy. Doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be the coach, but, like, you know, I do think, you know, who he knows, who he trusts, you know, could play a big factor in this. So, you know, whether that's Nagy, and by the way, you know, just because he's been in Kansas City, I mean, there are some other guys that he may know or think highly of around the league. So it doesn't have to zero in on Nagy just because that's the case. But if Borgonzi's ultimately the one making the decision, then, like, I mean, the odds are it's probably going to be somebody he's at least come in contact with or thinks really highly of, one of the two.
Yeah, makes sense. And maybe, I don't know. Cam, do you like Mario Cristobal? Maybe we should look at who he likes and he has worked with. This is an interesting comment that I like. It says, with McCarthy, you get someone who understands the old school coaching mentality, but also can implement his softer style of coaching with these newer players. He knows how to manage the egos. Hell, he had Aaron Rodgers on his team. Yeah, like Mike McCarthy, I think is a good coach. Like that team, that team that your Packers just bombarded. I mean, they went in there and Jordan Love was incredible. They played this fantastic game. The Cowboys got punched in the mouth, and that's a big mark against them.
Yep.
That team could have made a run. Now again, could have made a run. I'm just saying. You also look at teams. Now maybe with the Cowboys it's a little different, but I think when teams get better under a coach with personnel, then I also look at that coach probably has a decent idea of what he wants and has some input that helps, right?
Yeah.
So there's that too. I don't know. Maybe that's not the case with the Cowboys, but yeah, McCarthy. I mean, definitely some people are like way too down on him.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us coming up next. We'll get into the Titans, all things NFL with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Today between noon and 3, Chase and Big Joe will have your chance to win a $100 Moments Piece Salon and Day Spa gift card and qualify to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card as well. It's the 12 days of Christmas here on 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. And we head to our phone line driven by Wilson County and Hyundai.com and say hello to our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, guys? Half an hour early.
Yeah, you're a real trooper. We appreciate it. Real trooper.
Absolutely. This is bright and early for me.
Yeah. That's because you love us. That's what we do. You just love us so much, you come on early. So, Charles, a lot of discussion around here locally over the last 18, 20 hours or so of Cam Ward and what he had to say yesterday about the Titans coaching search. Says he wants to meet all the coaches who get the opportunity to come here, have conversations throughout the whole process. You talked about, the day-to-day of being a head coach in this league and that he's talked with Borgonzi and Brinker about his involvement level that he wants to have. What did you make of those comments, and what do you make of the idea of a very young quarterback in this league being involved in the coaching search for an NFL team?
Youngins nowadays, they think that they're the when you grow up in the social media age, you're used to being the center of your own universe. So, of course, you believe that, hey, yeah, absolutely, I'm going to be in on the interviews and the hiring process. And I understand where he's coming from. I heard the comments. I know it kind of created an interesting buzz. I think from a historical standpoint, I would say that what he is looking for, and I guess I would ask him to flesh it out a little bit more. I mean, what exactly is he looking to be sitting at the table and weighing in on, here's what we've come down to, and who gets your endorsement, or does he just want to offer feedback in the interactions that he's had? Because look, historically, some organizations have handled it where it's like the owner and the GM are like, look, we're going to make the decision ultimately what's right for our team, what's right for our quarterback. And then, even though we might get the two together, we're not going to sit there and ask the quarterback to, basically endorse a candidate. We might pick the quarterback's brain and say, what was your thought process? I've brought up in the past when McVay got hired with the Los Angeles Rams, McVay and Jared Goff got together, and I think it was really important to general manager Les Snead at that point, team president, the owner, and everybody wanted to see how, Goff interacted with McVay, what McVay's kind of plan was for Goff. And just sort of see the synergy between the two, because Goff had been the number one pick for the franchise, and it was very important to them that this was the guy that they made sure was not left on the scrap heap in a coaching change. So, you know, that was an element of where, you know, you saw it mattering, really, how the quarterback reacted to the candidate. But in terms of, let's say, and again, I don't want to put words in Cam's mouth, but in terms of a quarterback sort of vetting the coaches and then like lending an endorsement or something of that nature, it's pretty rare. And I think you'd have to find like veterans. Like, I'll give you an example. Like when Jim Caldwell succeeded Tony Dungy in Indianapolis, Peyton Manning was very, very influential in that process. But Peyton Manning, you know, Caldwell had been on the staff. Peyton Manning knew him. They'd spent a lot of time together. So ultimately, when Jim Irsay went to make that decision, of course, Peyton Manning's endorsement really mattered, because Peyton was like, look, I've spent years with this guy. I trust him. You know, we have an element, a working relationship between us. It's natural. It's seamless. And really, I think that played very, very heavily in Caldwell ultimately getting that job in Indianapolis. I think Cam's situation is a little different. He's not established, you know. I don't think he has the line of credit. I can't say this for sure, but I would assume that he does not have the line of credit in that organization that a Peyton Manning had in Indianapolis at the time that Tony Dungy was succeeded at the head coaching position. I'm telling you, I think part of this is, you know, excuse me. You talk about Cam. Man, we're doing this again.
Second time in here.
We're trying to kill you, getting you in here at 7:30 in the morning.
I've had the same issues today.
I talk too long. That's the problem. I wonder, you know, you think about this era of quarterbacks. I think you really have to think about this. With the portal existing, and you have guys who, especially guys who make more than one portal move, right? If you're transferring from Incarnate Word to, you know, Washington State to Miami, you're pretty heavily factored into where I'm going. You're kind of going through in a
way. You're choosing your coach.
You are, 100%. You're choosing your coach. You're choosing your destination. And I do wonder if that has an impact nowadays with some of the younger quarterbacks who cut a path that's a little bit different than maybe traditionally what we've seen historically. And so, of course, you know, if you're Cam Ward, you're sitting here thinking, well, geez, I've always played a factor in where I go and, you know, who my head coach is going to be. So naturally, in my mind, I'm going to have, you know, a role here. And it also fits with what we've seen over, you know, with Cam over the course of the season, right? Don't you agree? I mean, he's kind of spoken out in a way where we've even talked about on the show. We're like, yeah, we don't hear that a lot from rookie quarterback.
Yeah, fix the damn grass.
Yeah, and so, I mean, the best part of this is probably Cam's like, you know, he hasn't said, I want to make sure he's not ass. You know, at least he hasn't said that. So, I think, you know, again, I think it's just a little different for the individual. I think maybe it's a little different for the era. Again, knowing who's in control of that organization and the individuals that are making the decisions, I would tend to believe that they lean on more historic norms where they're like, sure, you know, like Cam wants to meet coaches, that's fine. And, you know, if he wants to express an opinion, that's fine. But ultimately, they're going to make the decision that they feel is best for the entire organization and not just the quarterback, but obviously the quarterback's going to be, you know, a big part of that. I'm just telling you, I think more and more, like the things that Burrow has said this week that have caused the fear, or at least over the last, like, you know, over the last week, obviously extending into last week, I think we're seeing an era of players where it's just starting to get a little different, right? You're getting guys that are, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but definitely feel more entitled to share their opinions, their emotion, how they're affected by, you know, their NFL experience and say it out loud. And it causes waves in a way that it hasn't in the past, because I think, you know, for the most part, there's been a little more stoicism expected from players, and you know, occasionally people will come along and affect where they go and how they move around the NFL. And that, those are always huge stories. John Elway refusing to play for the Baltimore Colts created a story for the rest of his career that we would talk about. You know, Eli Manning refusing to play for the San Diego Chargers created a story for the rest of his career that we would think about. But those are rarities, right? But I think nowadays it's getting a little more common for young guys to kind of speak out. I mean, Caleb, same deal. I mean, Caleb, you know, Seth Wickard fam's book. There was a point where Caleb Williams and his dad, you know, they're talking about wanting to play for like Kevin O'Connell, and you're kind of reading this and you're like, this is going to come out. Like, this stuff is like, it's not even in the league yet.
This was said out loud.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're like, what's going on here? Like, this is definitely unusual. So I think it sticks to the norm a little bit, but I'll ask you guys this. Do you think is it a negative, you know, for Cam Ward to express this, or is it, you know, do you think it's sensible for a player who's chosen number one overall to be able to say, yeah, you know, want to talk to the new coaches and express how I feel about that guy as a potential hire?
I don't think it's a negative for him to, like, want that. I mean, I like that he wants to be that involved, you know. It's just right. How realistic is it? I mean, it's great to hear you rail against the younger generation, which is really what you're doing here, which is, you know, I'm totally on board with you. But I do wonder, but I mean, it's a great point about the portal and everything and sort of player empowerment and all that stuff. Like, I do wonder, like, is there any way that shifts how things are done in these situations? Or is it just, yeah, guys, yeah, just still know your role, stay in your lane, period.
I think it... I don't know. I mean, look, it as much as we all end up as we get older, as I don't want to say who it was because it was funny. I was actually listening to a guy last night who, you know, has been involved in the NFL going back 30 plus years. And he was, you know, 30 to almost 40 years. And he was just kind of railing on the game and how it's changed and, you know, this and that. And I'm like, man, does every generation end up like shouting at the clouds? Like, it's just how it goes. Like, it changes. And I thought when I was listening to him, you know, he was complaining about how he's complaining a lot about quarterbacks, you know, about, oh, we don't do, the quarterbacks don't do this, that, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know what, man, I'm pretty sure your era quarterbacks, those that preceded you complained about how you were soft and how you didn't. And I'm just like, this is just how the league goes. We change. It just changes. It changes, players change, and the league changes with it. Attitudes change, how the game is played changes, rules change, and every next era of people are complaining that the last era is softer than the current one, or wants more of this, or is paid more, or, you know. And I'm like, I don't know, this just kind of feels like we're all on the same evolutionary chart, and, you know, the Homo sapien who's a little more upright than the one before is complaining about the one before it and the one after it. Like, this is just how, you know, human history goes. So I'll put it to you this way. If I'm a Titans fan and Cam Ward gets asked that question, I'd be far more alarmed if he was just completely disconnected about it.
Yeah, that would bother me.
If he was just like, yeah, whatever decision they make, you know, I'll just roll with it. I'd be kind of like, I don't know if I want that.
Ah, that's a fair point. Fair point. So, Charles, on the Tua front, Tua is benched in Miami. It looks like they're going to go with Quinn Ewers, which apparently Zach Wilson, not a huge fan of, but that's a different story for a different day. What do you make of that move? What does this mean for Tua? What does it mean for Mike McDaniel down there in Miami?
Yeah, I don't want to get in the kitchen of other, like, analysts and national writers who are commenting on this, but I think the one thing I'm a little surprised at is just this overwhelming assumption that, it's over. It's just over. Because in my mind, here's something you need to think about. They're paying Tua no matter what, right? And you're talking about, it's like a $99 million dead cap charge. Go ahead and split it up post June, however you want. I mean, it's just a god awful, you know, it's a burger, man. It is the worst burger you ever want to eat. And what if Quinn Ewers is terrible? Okay. So here's my sort of thesis when I look at this. If Quinn Ewers goes out there, and I don't, you know, all this stuff about, oh, he's looked really good in practice, and they thought he was really developed and come along. Great. Cool. I've heard that about quarterbacks for years and years and years, and I watch them go on the league, you know, go on the field, and they pee down their leg, and then everything changes. And I'm not saying that Quinn Ewers is going to do that, but if Quinn Ewers is objectively bad, if he is not, if he looks no better than Tua, then you sit there and you stare at the Miami Dolphins. You go, okay, so now you're going to get rid of Tua. That's going to cost you a $99 million plus dead cap charge. Now you have a scenario where Quinn Ewers might not be your guy. You trotted him out there and you didn't see anything, and that scares you. You skipped over Zach Wilson, so he's not the guy. So who's your answer? So now you need to get rid of Tua and then find another quarterback. Clearly it's going to have to be a cheap quarterback, so you would think a rookie, right? You don't even have a general manager right now. So who's the rookie you love? Who's making – is Stephen Ross going, I see a quarterback in the draft who we're taking? Well, you don't know exactly where you're picking. You don't know what quarterbacks are all going to be in the draft. Dante Moore, he hasn't declared yet. I mean, there's, you know, like what quarterbacks are you staring at where you're like, we've got our option on the table. And the thing that bothers me about this is the two most referred to instances of this happening where you take this massive dead cap charge and teams moving on by other analysts and individuals out there that are trying to, you know, kind of look at this and put this into a box. They keep bringing up Denver and they keep bringing up Green Bay. And those, you know, Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, Denver and Russell Wilson. Well, Russell Wilson, it didn't happen until Sean Payton had been brought in and had a year to measure him. And the cap charge was drawn down for 1 year, right? And Sean Payton said, I got the quarterback. I know who I want. I want Bo Nix. We're going to get Bo Nix. That's the replacement. That's the plan. We're good. Like, we're set. Something Sean Payton knew by, I think he knew late in that season, although it didn't really fully come together until the offseason. But Sean knew that he had a quarterback to replace him. In Green Bay, the front office's inclination, Brian Gutekunst wanted to get to Jordan Love. He wanted Jordan Love to get his opportunity. He'd been in the organization for a couple of years. So when they, you know, when they took the dead cap charge they did with Aaron, they had the player in house. Who is it for Miami? Someone asked me that question because I don't have it. I don't have that answer. I have not heard who it is. So we're making this presumption that, yep, Miami's going to go ahead and take the $99 million hit and roll. It's so bad now. They're just going to say, well, whatever. If Ewers doesn't work, then, you know, and Zach Wilson, we're skipping over him. We'll figure it out in offseason. And we're going to pay more money to bring in some, you know, bridge quarterback, or we're going to draft a rookie. That's an interesting theory. I just don't know the general manager who's steering that ship right now because they don't have a general manager. And I don't know Stephen Ross to be that kind of guy to have made those personnel decisions. So it's interesting to me right now. I tend to believe it's likely that Tua's off that roster. I just don't understand this idea that there's just no way whatsoever that he doesn't get another chance. Because, by the way, you know, I everybody can say Mike McDaniel's safe. We'll see. It's still a long time to the end of the season. It is a long time to the end of the season, and I've seen owners change their minds in a matter of days on head coaches. I've seen guys go for exit interviews and owners go, maybe, you know, this guy doesn't want to change his staff. We need to find another head coach. You know, I think there's been experience in Tennessee with that before. So, yeah. So let's just wait and see how this all plays out. It's not 100%. I think that Tua's out.
So you mentioned this other quarterback earlier. So let's go to Burrow. Like, where the heck is that thing headed?
Yeah, that's
deep sigh. Deep sigh.
Yeah, I think it's complicated because I think Burrow's complicated in the way that he relates, you know, how he's feeling and his thoughts. Like, you go back to the Netflix quarterback series, and to me, I was like, I remember when I watched that series, I was like, but far and away, the star of the series is Burrow. because I'm like, this, he's just different. He was very different. He was very open about his personality. He was very open about the people that were in the orbit of his world in terms of, you know, here's my, like, my fashion stylist. And I remember thinking to myself, wouldn't see a lot of guys in the league be like, here's my, let me introduce you to my fashion stylist, and then you get to watch me pick out a bag for game day. And, you know, wanting to learn to play the piano and just kind of talking about how, you know, his thought process developed as a player and a person. And so you're like, wow, this is a guy who's, he's really willing to put some interesting personal stuff out there, but then also doesn't want you to know what's going on in his dating life. And like, it's like, he definitely segments certain parts of what his personality, what it is. But I do think he has illustrated, including, you know, his time with the Bengals, sometimes he'll say things where he's like, yeah, I'm a human being and I'm introspective and I think about things, and it gets processed as, oh my God, he's thinking about things? That's a bad sign. Like, you know, he's like, so when he gets up there and he says, yeah, I think about a lot of things, you know, it's like, you know, do you think about not playing football? Well, yeah, you know, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but yeah, I think about a lot of things. Do you think about not, you know, being on the Bengals? Yeah. You know, well, you have a lot of thoughts. I think there is an element there of saying, hey, I'm a person. Of course, like, don't you ever think of not being in your job? Does it mean you'll quit your job? Guys, I think of not being in my job all the time. it doesn't mean I'm quitting. Like, it doesn't mean like I'm, you know, but of course, like, everybody, you know, has thoughts of like, well, what if I would have done this? Or, you know, I have a friend who went and did that. And, you know, like Joe, you and I know Mark Snyder. Mark Snyder was a longtime journalist. We kind of came up with him, became a high school principal. And I'm like, what is that like? You know, like, you're like what an interesting, like, change for someone in our industry. Well, if I say that out loud, no one's sitting there thinking like, Charles wants to become a high school principal. Like, he wants to, like,
he'd be really good, by the way.
And yet that's, you know, yeah, absolutely. Everybody's going to the office. listen, I think there's an element of it where he is trying to speak honestly about just being a human being. And then we're like reading into it, but I that's also what we do. And I think he needs to understand too, particularly when he gets asked about Zach Taylor, you know, if you're open-ended about, you know, if there's not like a clear endorsement of like, hey, I'm happy with how things are functioning, of course there's going to be a question about your happiness. Is it the head coach? What needs to change? And then just the general white knuckling of every Bengals fan, I don't want to say every, but like, as a generalization, Bengals fans are scared that this is like the best thing they've had going in a really long time. And you don't want that best thing to go, you know, have any answer but I'm happy here, I want to continue here, you know, this is my place. And for Burrow's, you know, Burrow did say, I want to play football for a long time. It's not about my, you know, love for the game. You know, he's kind of tried to contextualize it. I think there's some more stuff going on. And then he even said it himself. He's like, you know, there's a lot going on. It's a big statement. It's very, you can fit a lot into that statement. And, you know, my read on it is that his life, there's just been a lot of things that there's something else he's juggling beyond football that's playing into this. You know, remember, his house was robbed. Stories got written about, you know, the who he might have been dating at that time, because it kind of came out in some of the reporting about who made the call about the house being robbed. He really got upset about that. That really, really bothered him. He felt like the media like stepped into his personal life in a way that he was not happy with. And, you know, so he's kind of a complicated player. You know, when I watch him, I'm like, man, I just hope we're not seeing like early stages of Aaron Rodgers. This is like, you know, 10 years from now, it's spun into, you know, we're at this point of the season and people are still like, how come we don't know who Aaron Rodgers is married to? Like, what is he doing in the offseason? Like, we're asking things where I'm like, where are we with this guy at this point? Like, Burrow's an interesting guy, but for that talent level, I understand why people are panicking a little bit. Man, you think people are panicking about Cam Ward wanting to be involved in a coaching search? give Titans fans a Joe Burrow and then have them go, yeah, of course I think about not playing football anymore.
Yeah.
All right, they'd take it for a few years of Joe Burrow.
They would. All right, Charles, rapid fire here. Are my beloved Packers totally screwed with Parsons out, and how did the Chiefs rebound in the offseason with Mahomes dealing with the ACL?
I don't think the Packers are screwed. I think, obviously it becomes more difficult. But, again, it's an NFC where every single team's got issues. So I think that's good for them. But, I think it dramatically changes. Remember losing Wyatt on the offensive or defensive line, yeah, and Parsons is a heck of a 1-2 punch. They're not as good a team as they were when both those guys were on the field together. But I still think this is going to come down to momentum, who heats up, and it's Love. Like, to me, if Love plays at his top level, I think Packers, have a chance to beat anybody in the NFC just because of how the NFC is set up right now. In terms of the Chiefs, I think this is the watershed offseason. They're going to, I think Kelsey's going to retire ultimately. And then I think they're going to have to sit there and stare at, what can we do to bring some dynamic players back to the table? What are we doing at the offensive coordinator spot? Because it feels like we've gotten a little soft since Eric Bieniemy's gone out the door. I would expect them to address running back in a, try to find something more dynamic than what they've had. Try to, figure out pass, from the pass catching standpoint, can they find a more explosive player, get some consistency on the offensive line? There's defensive issues too, but I think obviously they're very concerned about, now we can't have Patrick Mahomes ever leading the team in rushing again, because now he's going to have a brace on a surgically repaired left knee. And that is not the guy we want running around. I mean, look, fine if you want to navigate to avoid the rush, but you're not getting out there and running the way that you have been, because we can't ever sacrifice this kind of thing. It's dramatically going to have to change how they structure the pieces around him. So it's going to be a very, very important offseason for them. And I think it's the intersection of, where does the dynasty go? I wrote about it and I was kind of like, is this the intermission, or is this like the end? And now we're going to go into the 10 years of winter that the Patriots did, where they didn't get to a Super Bowl with Brady on the roster.
Going to be very interesting to see. We get Gardner Minshew in our fine city this weekend, so we'll see how that goes. Charles, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you being flexible for us this morning, and we will talk to you next week, my friend. Actually, we won't.
Absolutely,
next week is Christmas.
Have a good weekend, all right? Have a good Christmas as well.
Yep, same to you. Same to you.
You too, buddy.
We will react to what Charles had to say. A lot of stuff on that, on the Titans front, on the NFL front at large. But we'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.